Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
There were two things that jumped out at me this morning when I opened up my New York Post app. Number one was the front page was bizarre because they put Donald Trump's hair on
De Blasio.
Yeah,
I saw that.
And that really kind of scared me. It freaked me out. The whole thing was bizarre.
That is a scary thing, yes.
And then I saw Mike Vaccaro's column, and all I thought about was Beningo and how angry he was
going
to be.
You know, I'm going through the post, and I see it, and I'm like, oh, are you serious? Come on. Not you. Not Mike. What, with the great Mike Vaccaro of the Post is with us now. Why would you? Do you realize how every time that I see that dunk, I want to vomit? Because because I am so aggravated. Because that team is probably the best team that the Knicks have had since the championship teams. That 1993 team. They won 60 games.
That team was great.
Right. 60 games. 60 games, they had won like 35 or 36 in a row at home. All of that. This is our year, home court advantage against the Bulls, all of that. And for them to blow that series and then have what I think is the worst. I've been a Knicks fan since 1962, Mike. What I think is the worst loss in the history of the franchise is the Charles Smith Memorial game. I mean, to me, that is, you could talk about 94 against the Rockets. You could talk about whatever you want to talk about. That is the bench incident in Miami. That is the worst loss in the history of the franchise. And all I think about with that stupid dunk by Starks, which they love to go, oh, what a great moment, is that they played and win another game in the series.
It's kind of the Andy Chavez moment of that team, right?
But it's not even Andy Chavez. I'll tell you why. Because Andy Chavez, they lost that game that he made that play in. The Knicks actually won the game that Starks that made that dunk in, but they blew the series.
I guess my point being, maybe that the Chavez thing winds up being a footnote because the Mets lost that game and lost the series. And same thing with the Starks dunk because of what happened later. I'll tell you this, though. I do officially feel better about my choice here because, you know, I knew it was an anniversary and I figured I had two people I could call, one or the other. I could either call John Starks or Charles Smith. And so now I'm glad I called Starks because I'm pretty sure that if I called Smith and written this column 8 days from now, you would have had an aneurysm.
Well, I figure I said it before. I think it's June 2nd. I think you're going to actually write that column.
The fact that you actually have that date in your mind.
Oh my God,
that's tremendous. It really is. Look, I mean, here's the thing. I understand everything you're saying, and I will say this: that while there, you know, this isn't scientific. I mean, but it does give me an idea of certain things. You know, my mail and my messages do have a few people like you, or like my God, it's painful memory. Or you're talking about, you know, when I think about John Starks, I don't think of the dunk. I think of 2 for 18. That's also fair. I will say this, that you can say that this maybe represents kind of the way that Knicks fans have been beaten up over the years. But it has been, you know, a lot of the response I've gotten is the people who want to tell me their stories of where they were when they watched that play and how much it meant to them, how the poster was on their wall. That doesn't necessarily make it less painful for you or for anybody or less of an indictment of what happened to the Knicks after that dunk. But it wasn't, like, I mean, all I can tell you is that was one of the last moments that I had as a pure Knicks fan because I was working in Arkansas at that time. So I was watching that series with the intensity of any series I've ever watched in my life. And I do remember feeling at that moment that, you know, I've never felt more strongly about a team I was rooting for.
Yep.
That they were going to win a championship.
I completely agree.
That moment.
I completely agree.
And so what happened later on, I can promise you, my wife loves to tell the story. She was, you know, we just started going out at the time. And the Charles Smith game, she walked in on me in the final minute and she saw me rocking back and forth on the floor. And she's like, what in the world am I getting myself into with this?
Yeah,
so,
no.
I completely understand. You know, and that is definitely a team, as you get in, as you become a sports writer, I mean, I think you have less of a complete understanding of what fans go through day to day, just because it's a different, you know, realm for me than it is for a fan. But I can promise you, in May and June of '93, I was every bit the Knicks obsessive that you were, and I know what you're saying, and I understand your anger. Believe me, I do. But I also understand that, you know, for some people, it really was kind of a resonant moment that stays that way. And unfortunately, that's because there's been so few things in between. I mean, there were a couple of nice runs between there and the end of Beasley's career, but, you know, now it's, you know, Knicks fans are starving. And it's just, I mean, I really did. I was really wondering whether I should do this, to do something on the Starks anniversary or the Smith anniversary. I just thought, you know what? Every now and again, it's nice to throw Knicks fans a bone. Those fans who want to look at it as a positive. I apologize if it caused the opposite reaction for you.
Yeah, no, it definitely did.
It reminds me that we're all idiots because there have been so many moments with various teams where something happens and your heart tells you, oh, my God, we're going to win it all. And then it doesn't happen. And it feels like that's happened a lot. You have the Indy Chavez catch, which you bring up. The Robin Ventura Grand Slam single. Big deal. They lost the next game. And they lost the series. In my case, as a Net fan, I'll tell you one that jumps out at me. The game against the Pistons in Game 5.
Yep.
The Brian Scalabrine game.
Sure.
What an amazing win on the road.
Yep.
They blew Game 6, and Jason Kidd was on one leg in Game 7. I'll give you another one, except I wasn't fooled this time. I was not fooled this time, and Joe knows, when the Jets went to New England and beat the Patriots in the playoffs.
Yeah, there's another one.
The can't wait game.
Yep.
But I think the heart told you, oh, my God, they beat the Patriots in New England. They're going to go to the Super Bowl. But it seems like more times than not, all those moments are teases.
Yep.
That's it.
Another one that was underrated to me, guys, maybe I'm overblowing this because I just have a couple of friends who keep mentioning this a couple of years later, but Game 1 of the World Series in 15. When I mean, but remember how they took the lead? They took the lead on a ball getting through Hosmer that sure looked a lot awful familiar. And you add that to just how they've been playing for a week. I mean, I had my head buried in my computer because clearly they're going to win that game, probably going to sweep. And then all of a sudden you look up, and Darius Milius quick pitching Alex Gordon and on up to going from there.
Oh, the pain.
Oh, the pain. Exactly right.
Yeah, you know, I want to go back to the Charles Smith game because.
Sure.
I will never forget this night because they lose the next time. I'll never forget this too, right? After the Starks dunk game, Marv's doing a game on MSG. I think it was with Andres. And he says, I'll never forget this. This series is far from over. He said that. Mm-hmm. And they're up 2-0, and they get annihilated. Two games in Chicago. I think it was Memorial Day. I think Jordan had 50-something in one of those games.
Sure did.
All right? So now it's 2-2. Now they come back to the, here it is, okay? They've won 35 in a row, whatever it is at the Garden, and right. I am, like you said, pins and needles. I am dying this whole day because this is it. And now, you know, we all remember Charles Smith. Well, by the way, let's be honest. He got fouled at least once going up to the basket.
For sure.
But that game, they missed 15 foul shots.
Yep.
They went 20 for 35 from the foul line in that game. I mean, they choked like dogs in that game. They really did.
Just thinking about that game. Just thinking about the game makes me nauseous, Joe. It really does. I just remember thinking the same thing. I think it's a quintessential fan reaction, right? You have every reason in the world to believe that your team's going to win, and yet you have absolutely zero faith they're going to win.
Yeah.
And then all of your worst fears are justified. Everything the Knicks did in that stretch, and they really did give us a lot of cool moments and. Between in the Patrick time, but that year is just so frustrating because that team was just different because Roe Blackman was still a player.
Yep.
It was Doc Rivers.
As
great as Derek Harper was, Doc Rivers was a guy that
had a tremendous year for them.
Everybody loved Doc, and that was really the ultra prime of Patrick before he started.
Anthony Mason
was just coming on the scene. Yeah, look. And even Starks and Smith, that team was wonderful, and it was coached by Riley.
Yep.
I just had this feeling that we got the guy. We got the guy with the swagger. We got the guy who's going to get this done, and it never got done. And as exciting as 94 was, and obviously that had its miserable endings too. I mean, it was just different because it was a different team.
Yep.
There was no Jordan in the league.
Well, let's be honest about 94 too. And I always say this about 94 when talking to the great Mike Vaccaro. Look, if not for Hugh Holland's bogus call on Scottie Pippen in Game 5, they would have lost to the Bulls without Jordan that year.
100%. Absolutely right. And it's just, Joe, Evan, this is what I keep going back. People always talk to me, you must be misloved, baseball season and so forth. And I do love baseball more than anything else in the world. However, I wish I hadn't. I've probably covered 15 baseball games so far this year. And I wish I'd covered zero, because what that would mean, it would be back at a time when this was a basketball town. And as I tell people over and over again, regardless of how big a baseball town this is, in the good old days, baseball season didn't really start till the day after the Knicks were eliminated from the playoffs.
You're right.
And that was
right.
That was the way it was. I believe it could be that way again sometime in the next 30 years, maybe. But that's the truth. I mean, we're talking about some years where the Yankees were defending champions, you know, 97, 98, 99. And people still were obsessed with the Knicks until the moment they were eliminated from the playoffs, and that's when baseball season began.
Yeah.
Feels like a different world.
It's a different world now.
It's been a long, long time since that happened. You have hope for the new Knicks? I mean, they got the number 9
There's
pick.
No hope.
They have a brand new coach. KP is tweeting how excited he is to play for Fizz.
I saw that.
Life
by the way, I have advice for Fizdale. Rent, don't buy.
Well, you know, Evan, this will matter to you, not only because you're not a Knicks fan, but you're also too young. But, Joe, I think you'll appreciate what I was, you know, I was talking to somebody. He said, this reminds me of 1980 being a Knicks fan. You know, when maybe you got, you know, a little bit of hope, but so what? You got the Celtics and the Sixers in your own division.
Yep.
So basically you start every year thinking that the best I can do is finish third in my league. And that was that way for 7 years, 8 years, until the Knicks could shake that. And
well, we did have the Bernard King. The 1 year with Bernard King in 84, when they took the Celtics, who eventually would win the title, that great seven-game series where they got killed every game in Boston.
Absolutely.
And every game at the Garden was a gut-wrencher, and they won, you know? So they did have that, you know.
Even that was the Eastern Conference semifinals.
Right, that's true. You know? That's true. You're right.
You know,
you're right.
We wanted to throw a parade because they actually survived the Pistons in Game 5 in the first round.
Right.
You know,
so they had that great game, that man on man game with Isaiah Bernard and Isaiah in Game 5.
And believe me, I'm not minimizing that because, you know, as sad as it is, you know, my time frame as a Knicks fan, that was the best year they had until '93.
Right. Right.
But I mean, and far and away the best, you know, the best moment. And that was short lived because the next year they were right back in the tank again. But that was a special moment. But you know, like I said, even that it was a minimal amount of achievement when you really look back at it.
Yeah. You're right.
What do you think is going to happen in the conference finals? You think we'll still get Cleveland Golden State, or you think we're going to get a new finals?
I think we're going to get a new finals. I think Golden State is going to survive. I do. I think they'll figure out a way to win Game 7. I don't have any other better, you know, reasoning than just thinking that they'll figure it out. Plus, I'm a little concerned that, you know, if CP3 isn't 100%, I just don't think that the Rockets are the same team. You know, my heart tells me that I think that LeBron will figure out a way to get it done, but I just watch the Celtics the way they play at home. And they are, you know, they're a great team. I don't mean by saying this to minimize them at all, but they are a special team at home. And I mean, I get it. You know, LeBron is LeBron, and I guess anything can happen when you have the best player on the floor. But even if they win tonight, I do think that the Cavs will win tonight. I just have a hard time figuring out a way that they're going to get past Celtics in Game 7. Beating the Celtics in Game 7 in Boston still means something, and still comes with its own, you know, army of ghosts.
I think it's only happened twice. The Knicks did it in 73 and the Sixers in 82, both in the conference finals.
Which is when the great chant beat LA started, I think. Right?
Yeah. Those great Celtic fans that we love so much. Yes.
Well, I mean, I'm sure you remember that 73 Game 7. So that had to be one of your crystalline moments.
Oh, brother, the 73 games, that series, the 73 game 7 in Boston Garden, we won that game 94-78. Dean Memminger had a tremendous game. Clyde is walking off the court, number one, and all of that. That might be, as great as the two championships were, okay, that might be, well, they won that championship that year. That might be the game that sticks out in my mind more than any game. Because remember, they were up 3-1 in that series. They lost game 5, okay, in Boston. Because remember, that year they won every other game that year. Game 1,
right.
Game 2, every other game was in a different place. Game 5's in Boston. Paul Silas, who never could score a basket, hits like this bank shot from 30 feet away. They win that game like by a point. Then they come back Game 6 at the Garden. They beat the Knicks. They beat them bad in Game 6.
Yeah, killed them.
So I'm like, oh, you're not going to blow this series to this team. And
right.
When they won that game, I can't tell you. I was in college, all right? And I got to tell you a little story. I'm in college, right? And I think it was my sophomore year in college. And I had this guy's name was Jeff Lewis. I think he's a doctor now somewhere in Boston. He was from Boston. He was an obnoxious New Englander. No other way to say it. This guy could not have been more freaking obnoxious. And I got a bet on this series with this guy, and I'll never forget this guy. At the end of the game, okay, after we won, and me coming down the hall, I'm in the dorm, and me coming down the hall, and I am delirious, like in his face, that we won this game.
That's hysterical. You know, one of my heroes in the business is the great Bob Bryan in Boston, who's seen every important Celtics playoff series going back to when he was in college at BC. And you know, he covered the 86 team, and he thinks that's the best team he ever saw. But a close second is that 73 team. Don't forget, that was a great team.
They won 68 games. They won more games than the 86 team won.
Absolutely. Now, of course, the asterisk that Celtics fans will come at you with.
I know
is
it
that,
is. Havlicek got hurt.
Havlicek was hurt.
Right,
but
right.
You know what? Patrick Ewing spent most of his career with bad knees. So,
here's my comeback to that. If you remember the first in '69 when the Knicks were finally good and they got to the conference finals to play that Celtic team that really was wound up being Bill Russell's last year, and they were better than that Celtic team that year. And if you remember, I think it was Game 4 in Boston. Clyde got hurt in that game.
That's right. That's right.
And nobody talks about that because, come on, and Bill Russell won again. Of course.
I got to remember.
So that kind of canceled out Hondo getting hurt in 73.
Let's be honest. The Knicks won the championship a year later with the best player basically on one leg, for the last game and unavailable for the half a game 5 and all of game 6. So, these things do happen, as we know.
Yes, yes. And one more thing, and I don't want to jump on you. I want to go back one more thing about that 93, which to me, the worst loss in the history of the franchise is the Charles Smith Memorial Game. I don't think it's even debatable. And if you remember this, after the Knicks game won game 2, there were these articles that were coming out in the paper that Jordan had spent the entire night before game 2 in Atlantic City gambling. Do you remember that?
I do remember that, for sure. Absolutely.
And that, I was so ticked about that, because I think that just motivated Jordan even more.
Yeah, I remember feeling the exact same thing. It was, like I said, I wasn't anywhere close to you. I was living and working in Arkansas at the time.
Right,
and I remember being just as angry that, oh, my God, just what this guy needs is extra fuel and, the professional basketball equivalent of bulletin board material. And, it was absolutely given to him. And he certainly came out with whatever that number was. Was it 54? Did he score?
I think it was 54. I think it was the Memorial Day game, and I think it was 54, yeah.
And, of course, I think most of that damage was done against Stark, so I guess you could say he got his revenge for the Starks, one second in the sun.
And I'll tell you another quick story, too. I know we're talking about ancient history. I know Mink wants to get on. And I tell people, after they lose the Charles Smith game, I remember friends of mine, come on, they're going to win game 6 and win in game 7. I said, there's no shot. They're going to win in game 6. And I remember watching game 6 was a Friday night. I knew they had no chance. And I never did this before, and I mentioned this to Evan a couple weeks ago. I got drunk for that game. I was drinking martinis from the opening tip. I swear to God, I was home. I didn't go out. I had 3 martinis that night because I said, I know they're losing tonight, and I'm going to be blitzed by the time this game's over.
You are the best. You are the best. That's of course. Because, and if I'm not mistaken, I'm sure my memory probably was a little clearer than yours was, given your 3 martinis. But I think they actually stayed close for like
somewhat,
3 quarters. And,
but you knew they weren't winning.
It's one of those games. Basketball is the one game you can always tell. It's just not going to happen. You can tell early in the game. And that's exactly the way I felt. I'm pretty sure I probably got drunk after.
Just do me a favor. Don't write an article in a couple days on the Charles Smith game, okay?
I promise.
Thank you.
I've given you enough torture.
Wait till next year when he writes articles about losing to Houston. I mean, that's what you're going to get. 25-year anniversary.
That was not as bad, though.
Well, wait till 10 days from now when I'm writing articles about Hanley Ramirez at the Mets.
We're ready up for that. If they DFA and bring him in,
hey,
let's
I'm
go.
All for it.
Absolutely.
Why not?
Absolutely.
Can't trade for him, but if he's going to be
no.
a three, why not?
No.
Why not?
Exactly. I'm in.
Thank you, Mike. We appreciate
Mike,
it.
Mike, great stuff, bro.
Good talking to you guys.
See ya.
Mike Vaccaro of the Post.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us, and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.